Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week we watched No Country for Old Men, number 158 on IMDb's top 250.
It should be lower.
I was prepared. You're wrong!
It should be lower.
Okay, so this movie...
Or not on it. Anyway, continue. This
is a Coen Brothers movie. I think I really like Coen Brothers, actually. Like, I think I consistently enjoy their movies. Like, some of their movies aren't the best, you know, but I still consider, like Burn After Reading. It's a fun movie.
I would put Burn After Reading ahead of
really?
This movie.
No. Like, Burn After Reading, like, I really thoroughly enjoyed it, but it was just, like,
Burn After Reading
dumb bureaucrats.
Works. Exactly. Burn After Reading knows what it is, and it does it well. This doesn't know what it is and does nothing.
No, you're wrong!
We'll get there.
God.
We will talk about this in a second.
Anyway. Okay, so this movie is based off of a book by Cormac McCarthy of the same name.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I love Cormac McCarthy. It's disappointing. They made such a bad movie out of this.
Actually, it was very faithful to the book. They cut, like, some things for time, but it was almost exactly, like, there's a quote that's like, one brother held the spine of the book open, the other one typed, was basically how they wrote this script. But, so the plot of the movie centers around Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin. Tommy Lee Jones plays this, like, old... sheriff of this West Texan town. It's very quiet, the movie's described as a neo-Western, neo-noir. It's very dark, it's on the border, which in noir films is very notable for the way that it, like, twists perception, and it's like everything on the border gets kind of mixed and, you know, dark. Javier Bardem plays this, like, terrifying assassin dude who kills people with, like, an air gun or something.
It's like what they say what it is. It's like how you kill deer. It's like a little
thing. Oh, the cow thing.
Yeah.
Or the nail.
Cows or whatever. And it's like, just, like, pushes out a rod with, like, air pressure and then sucks it back
in. It's like his thing. And then you have Josh
Brolin.
It's
useful.
who plays, how do you pronounce his name? I forget. Lewin? I don't know.
Oh, Llewellyn.
Llewellyn.
Which
that's
is
it.
What I thought was a lady's name.
Well, it's spelled Llewellyn.
What?
Yeah, that's why I was like, how do you pronounce that? But
read this book and was like, you know, Llewellyn.
Okay. Anyway, so those are the three essential characters. Josh Brolin's character Llewellyn plays this guy from some welder from West Texas who happens upon this money that Javier Bardem has been basically sent, or Anton, who is sent to capture this money from Llewellyn, and Tommy Lee Jones is on Anton's scent because he is this very well-known assassin. So that's the setup of the movie. Josh Brolin is on the run, Javier Bardem is following him, and Tommy Lee Jones is following him. And the whole movie is just... I have never felt more tense in a movie except for Whiplash. Like,
it's tense. I'll give you that.
There's that one scene, like, before I saw this movie, what made me want to watch this movie, like, I've seen this movie before, but the first time I watched this movie was because we watched the gas station scene in film class, the one where he's talking to the dude. And you're just like, oh no. And then what made me, like, the one, like, take was the, when they cut to the candy bar wrapper, and it's just like, unfolding, and you're like,
no, I will give you this movie is tense. I watched this movie on the bus ride back from New York, sitting next to a person I've never met, nor do I know.
It's very violent.
And there were multiple occasions where I just, like, jumped out of my seat, and this woman was like, I just can't. And I didn't know. So, like, I'll give you that. Like, it works with tension very, very well.
Yeah,
but
man.
On a broader, like, narrative
it's
level.
Such and
think it works.
There's like in the movie, this is gonna sound so pretentious, but I was like, I couldn't help think this movie's just about, like, America. Like,
see, I had that same thought, but I was like, what? I had this very similar, this is really well articulated, listeners. I was thinking about this in the today in preparation. And I was like, what is my issue with this movie? And one, I feel like it sets it up to be this story about America and tell us something about America in a similar way. Here we go. Current times. three billboards thinks it's saying something about.
It is not a three billboards.
Thinks it's saying something about America.
Absolutely
but gets so
not.
Caught up that
no.
it says nothing
no.
at all.
No, you're so wrong.
All right.
You're so wrong. Are you kidding? Three billboards. I can't believe you.
What does it say about America?
Okay, so I think it definitely has something to say about materialism. Like, the MacGuffin, like, the object that starts this whole story is a vat of money. It says definitely says something about violence. Just like, the dark violence of the whole movie and, like, the way that it's encapsulated in the noir genre, which is about, like, being disillusioned with society and being in a society that, like, is not working and is not, like, holding up its morals in the correct way. Like, Josh Brolin literally has to go to Mexico to be renewed. Like, he's been shot, he's bloody, and he has to go to Mexico to be, like, become a new person and feel better and be a different... And Mexico's shot so differently. Mexico is so bright and beautiful. He wakes up to music. Like, the... Ah, oh, man, you... Wow. I'm mad. So, like, the one shot that got me was when Javier Bardem is in... I'm just gonna go by actor name, it's fine. Javier Bardem is in Josh Brolin's like trailer, and like there's that he drinks the milk and then it cuts to like the television screen
with
and he's like
reflection.
In the television screen,
yeah.
His tech reflection in the television screen, and then what's it say, Tommy Lee Jones comes and they do the same. Oh man, it's just
see but okay, what you're pointing to is like a lot of like very there are a lot of moments in this movie where you're like, ooh, that shot well, and like, oh, that's cool.
And
but
the
like,
story is
but
compelling.
When it, but when it all comes together, like, it none of it comes together to feel like it's making any sense, making any like sort of narrative. Like what I was gonna say earlier about Burn After Reading is like, Burn After Reading does like the very Coen Brothers thing where they're like, and this and this happened. Welp. And we're out.
She stole my take, just saying.
Anyway. But they do it in this movie as well in a much more somber way.
Yeah, they do it in a more somber... Like,
right, well, wait. But the reason it works in Burn After Reading is because you felt some level of, like, investment with these characters, even though they're all...
You didn't feel invested?
Not a drop.
Are you kidding me?
Even though they're
Are
idiots, even though they're, like, so ridiculous, you're like, oh, I'm with you.
Nah.
And you feel, like, the tragedy
no.
almost of the end. And then you're like, oh, I guess that's whatever, cynicism and whatever. This movie, I was like, all right, there's this dude... And we're chilling with this money. Oh, this guy's violent. Oh, who's the sheriff character?
No, oh, man.
And we're
you,
okay.
I don't know. I felt like I even had this thought like while I was watching the movie. I was like, I feel so weird that I'm like automatically invested in the sheriff. I'm like automatically invested in Josh Brolin just by nature of Javier Bardem's performance. Where you're like, oh, and oh, God.
I felt more of a. Like character, like an actual connection, or like caring about the characters who were like unnamed, like the gas station guy, and like the guy that Javier Bardem meets on the side of the road, who like helps him or is like going to help him like charge up his truck. To me, those characters are way more compelling than like any of the protagonists.
I felt so like even like Llewellyn's wife and like. She has, like, very small parts, but she, like, grounds Llewellyn's character, and, like, he has something to go back to, and he has something that he cares about. Like, that's what's driving him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, at the end, when Javier Bardem's, like, in their house, and she, like, refuses to do the coin flip and kind of, like, ruins his whole, like, morale. Like, that's his morality. Like, Javier Bardem's character's morality is this coin flip that he's decided. Like, either you've wronged him or you earned your life at the flip of a coin.
Yeah.
And his wife just refuses to, like, buy into that, and it just, like, ruins... his like whole dumb morality, like.
But
it just,
I disagree that like that her character grounds Llewellyn in any way because I don't know, maybe you did, but I didn't feel any sort of like him really caring for his wife that like he cared for her, but it didn't feel like in this kind of way where any of the things he was doing for was for him. It felt more like he was doing it for this like what I'm a cowboy kind of reason and like this is just what I'm doing. Like none of it felt like I'm doing this for a greater purpose other than like I'm a man and like I'm gonna take this money and like I don't know. It all just felt very yeah, okay, this is happening now. No, ooh, that's a cool shot, but like, I don't care about anything that's happening.
I felt like I really cared. I felt like they did feed into that whole like Western movie conception of a man. Like, there's even a shot of Tommy Lee Jones in a doorway, like in The Searchers. Mm-hmm. Just like, I don't know. I feel like it's so seated in like the noir genre, which is about like men being disillusioned with the world and mm-hmm. kind of manly, and the Western, which is like about manly men and kind mm-hmm. of making like the point that all of it's like hollow and empty, I feel like. Like, all, like, you know?
But like, where do you get that disillusionment from any of the characters, really,
it's just
except for Javier Bardem?
And Tommy Lee Jones. Like, Tommy Lee Jones, like, his character is like on the verge of retirement, and he's like, he's a cop, and he's seen it all, and he's seen mm-hmm. all of this happen, and he's like, his whole character is like being like looking back on like being a cop and seeing mm-hmm. all of this like horrible violence and seeing all of this happen and like not knowing what to do with it.
I guess a little bit, but it only really comes through in like
that conversation he has with his brother. Like, I don't know. I just, or was that his brother? I couldn't tell. Yeah, I think it's his brother
because yeah. I mentioned like mom and dad or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't come through for me. And I feel like especially in like the context of the movie, if they were going to like really like go for like the disillusionment, they mention like Vietnam, but only like cursory. Like, I feel like if we're gonna like get at disillusionment in these men and like in that tension between like being a man and like going out to fight, but it being for some cause that was nothing. Talk about Vietnam! Like, yeah. Don't just be like, yeah, I fought in Nam. Anywho.
No, I do. I agree with that. Like, and I actually, like, thought during the movie, I was like, it's nuts how, like, clearly Vietnam had an impact on the 80s because it was Vietnam. Right after.
Yeah.
But when you think about the 80s, you never really think about Vietnam at all.
Yeah, because Vietnam was about, like, hush-hush about Vietnam. It's like, we're Americans, we don't lose, so that didn't happen, you know?
So...
Yeah, but they don't talk about it at all.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So don't you think that might have had any bearing on any of the characters? Like, if you understand that aspect of Vietnam and having gone to war and not talking about it?
Yeah, but it just didn't work.
It didn't really work for me, and it worked for the Academy because it won Best Picture.
Whatever,
so.
Yeah, because Shakespeare, you know what else also won Best Picture? Shakespeare in Love.
You know what else won Best Picture? The Shape of Water.
Yeah, a beautiful
film. Which is just an objectively a fine movie. It's just fine.
Yeah, so is this one.
I really like this
movie.
A
lot of subpar to average movies have won Best Picture. Okay, that is not an argument.
Yeah, it's not. But still, I don't know. I really enjoyed watching it. I was like highly engaged. I loved every shot, like, not every shot, but you know what I mean. They're just, like, when, like, a shot, like, stays with you. Like, when...
I'll give you that.
I cannot remember the last time I can just, like, cite a shot in a movie because it impacted me that immediately.
Well, you're a film and media studies minor.
Yeah, so, you know.
I don't know. I do agree that there are some, like, beautiful... It's, like, very well directed, I guess. Or, like, the cinematography is done very well.
I'm a Coen Brothers fan. I think
that's what it is. I'll give you that. But I just, like, finished watching the movie and was like, okay. Like, I had no... Nah. And it took me a few days. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say other than, like, you know? Because I was just like, okay, that I spent 2 hours of my life doing that. And now I'm going to do something else.
I don't know. I feel like I got a lot more from the movie than you did.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also feel like, when was this movie made?
The mid-2000s. Like, okay. 08 or something like that.
I feel like right now, the themes, or some of the themes that the movie is dealing with, like masculinity and, like, violence, is, like, something that's kind of being... Like, there's a new wave of, like, dealing with those concepts in a lot of different ways and a lot of, like, really good movies right now. So I feel like it's something that I'm, like, seeing a lot. And, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the things I've seen it in handled it better than No Country for Old Men.
Can you say that again? I'm sorry. I was texting.
Wow. Just anywho. I was saying that, like, masculinity, I feel like I've seen it dealt with a lot better in a lot I wouldn't say more nuanced ways, but I think I've seen it like addressed much better in the movies I'm seeing now than in watching No Country for Old Men. I mean, just like, okay,
that's fine, but like, gotta place the movie in its time also. And I just feel like mid-2000s wasn't the time to address toxic masculinity. Not wasn't the time. It's always the time to address toxic masculinity. But I'm saying, I don't think that was, like, a thing we were addressing in 08. Like, I don't, or whatever this movie was made, 07, something like that.
Mid-2000s. Mid-aughts.
Yeah. Like, I feel like now that's definitely, like, it's just, like.
I don't know. I was just kind of underwhelmed by the whole experience. But I will give you, it did get me a few times. I was tense on this bus.
Yeah. They're so good at building up the tension in this movie. Like the gas station scene or the hotel scene when he's like running and I'm like,
with the door.
And then he runs out and then you're like, coach, just.
And there are also many moments where I wanted to like cover my eyes.
Yeah.
And
like
look
the part
through
with Tommy Lee Jones where he sees like the lock has been blown out of the door and he's like, all right, this is it, man. And you're like, oh man, this is it. But then it was fine. And you're just like,
There are a lot of moments where I just wanted to like cover my eyes, but I was in a public setting. So I was just like, just take it, Kayla. I don't know. Like, I feel like I can appreciate this movie in its smaller moments, and like if I like were to dissect it, I can appreciate it. But like on a broader level,
there's so many things like working towards this theme. I just like in the end when like Anton gets like hit by the car and the kids are like, oh, just take my shirt, and he tries to give them money, and they're like, no, man, you're dying. Like it's good movie.
Meh.
Watch it, everyone.
Watch it and agree with me.
That's wrong. You're wrong.
And notice how like great the unnamed characters are compared to the protagonists, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. What other unnamed character? The grandma. Her mom was funny. I think
she
unnamed.
Her mom was also funny. She's in a lot of stuff, that woman. That's just like
woman. She's in Mindy Project.
She is. What's his name's wife? She probably has a name, but it's only said like once. The sheriff's wife.
Yeah.
She's pretty
Carla.
Great. Carla, probably. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like all of like the little interactions that Javier Bardem's character Anton has.
Ugh.
Those characters I find very interesting because they feel more real, I think.
Yeah. No,
I don't know. I don't think I agree with you. I don't agree. This is the first week that I've been underwhelmed by a movie.
And I'm just like all in on.
Look at this. We give you variety. We're giving you conflict.
You know, keep listening, you know?
It's a wild ride every week.
All right. So, we're picking the next movie for next week.
Exciting.
Actually, I'm not going to be here next week.
Where are you? Oh, yeah, you're going to be gone.
All right. Well, maybe Kayla will be here next week. But the movie is number 116. Do you want to guess what movie?
Give me an era.
The late, the 50s.
There's no way I
guess this. The 50s, no, with a very famous woman in it.
Woman?
She's blonde.
Oh, what's her name? Marilyn Monroe?
What's her name?
Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah.
I just couldn't tell you the movie.
Some Like It Hot.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the one with the
yeah,
dress
no,
thing.
You didn't see that, viewers. But she just,
I did the dress thing.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be better than No Country for Old Men.
You're wrong. That movie's so good. So good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Some Like It Hot next week.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I've never seen a Marilyn Monroe movie.
Neither have I, and neither will I, at least next week. But
you can still you're still a listener.
I could.
You gotta watch to listen.
I'm busy.
Whatever.
If you want to listen to more Voice podcasts, you can follow the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow at GTown Voice, at Halftime GU. You can like the Voice on Facebook. You can like Halftime on Facebook. You can go on georgetownvoice.com. Check out our digital issue next week. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be cool, guys.
If I do say so myself.
None of it's been made yet, but it's going to be cool.
All right. You know what? It's going to be cool. But yeah. Bye.
Bye.